KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's mostly cloudy and 69 degrees. We look for a chance of scattered showers this morning, otherwise cloudy to partly cloudy and windy. A high around 86 with winds out of the south-southwest at 15 to 30 miles per hour this afternoon. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN State and Area News. In state news, four relatively unknown Iowa Democrats are competing in a primary tomorrow to take on Republican Senator Joni Ernst. The endeavor was once viewed as a long shot, but Ernst's slip in approval and the rallying of Iowa National Democrats behind one of the four has the race receiving a second look. For now, Ernst is still a strong position heading into the fall, but Democrats are increasingly bullish on their prospects in such places as Arizona and Colorado, and the Iowa race is getting renewed attention as the potential battleground that could help the party regain the Senate majority. Thousands of Iowans must get their absentee ballot mailed today or vote in person tomorrow. Today is the postmark deadline for the absentee ballots in Tuesday's primary election. Due to the pandemic, Iowa Secretary of State Paul Pate sent an absentee ballot request form to every registered voter, and early voting in the Democratic and Republican Party primaries, he says, will set a record, according to Pate.
People have listened and they heard. They got the message. Let's vote safe. Let's vote from home right now. For those who still want that choice of coming into the polling locations, I think we'll be there to accommodate them. I will say to them, let's be patient, though, and remember, it may take a little more than 5 minutes to get your voting done.
More than 486,000 absentee ballots were requested for Tuesday's primary. By Friday, 69% of those ballots had been received in a county auditor's office. The Cass County Auditor's Office said Saturday that they had over 400 ballots that had still not been returned. They urged registered county voters to mail those ballots back today to ensure they are received on time and that your voice is heard. Well, the primary election, as we mentioned, is tomorrow. Winners of any uncontested races advance to the general election in November. Here in Cass County, the candidates for office include on the Republican ticket, Supervisor District 1, incumbent Steve Green of Atlantic, Supervisor District 4, incumbent Steve Beyer of Griswold, and challenger Travis Erickson of Cumberland, Supervisor District 5, Bernard Pettinger of Oneida, and Linda Reinecke of Messina. That's the two candidates for that seat. Also for county attorney to fill a vacancy, Vanessa Strasdas of Atlantic, the current county attorney, county auditor incumbent Dale Sunderman, and county sheriff incumbent Darby McLaren. And also on the Republican ticket, U.S. Senator incumbent Joni Ernst is the only name on that ticket. For U.S. Representative District 3, there's Bill Schaefer, David Young, and the winner faces Cindy Axney in November. She's the Democrat. State Senator District 10 incumbent is Jake Chapman. And Representative District 20 is incumbent Ray Bubba Sorensen. And District 21 incumbent Tom Moore from Griswold. On the Democratic ballot for tomorrow, Supervisors District 1, 2, and 3 in Cass County, there are no candidates. Supervisor District 4, the only candidate on the Democratic side is Russell Joyce of Atlantic. And no Democrat candidates have filed for the office of county attorney, auditor, or sheriff. And again, the U.S. Senate, for the U.S. Senate race, the winner facing Joni Ernst in November, there are four candidates that will be on the ballot for tomorrow, including Michael Franken, Kimberly Graham, Teresa Greenfield, Eddie Morrow. Cal Woods was on the ballot, and he still will be, but he ended his campaign in early May. Also for U.S. Representative District 3, Cindy Axney, incumbent, State Senator District 10, Warren Barley of Stewart, State Representative in District 20 on the Democratic ticket will be Ryan Morrison, and in District 21 there is no candidate. Voters in Cass County will not have the normal number of precincts to cast their ballot for tomorrow's primary. The 13 precincts have instead been combined into just five. Those combined precincts and voting locations include Precinct 1 combined, Cass County Community Center, and that is for voters in Atlantic One, Ward 1 and Brighton, Grove, Pomosa, and Washington Townships and Marnie. Combined Precinct 2 is Cass County Community Center for voters in Atlantic Wards 2, 3, 4, and 5. Combined Precinct number 3 will be Griswold Community Building, and that is for voters in Bear Grove, Cass Township, Lewis, Edna, Victoria Township, and Noble, Pleasant Township, Griswold. Combined Precinct number 4 will be at the Oneida Community Center for voters in Benton, Franklin Township, Wyota, and Grant, to Lincoln Township, Oneida. And combined Precinct number 5 is at the Cumberland Community Building for voters in the Messina Township, City of Messina, and Union Township, City of Cumberland. Voters in Adair County will head to the polls tomorrow to elect a supervisor for District 1 Northwest, District 3 Southwest, and District 5 Greenfield, in addition to a county auditor, county sheriff, and county attorney to fill a vacancy. Listed the candidates that include for Adair County Auditor, no candidate has filed as a Democrat. Incumbent Republican Mandy Berg has filed for a re-election. Also, Adair County Sheriff incumbent Republican Jeff Vandewater of Winterset has filed for re-election. There is no Democrat challenger, or candidate, I should say. Adair County attorney to fill a vacancy. A Democrat is incumbent Melissa S. Larson of Greenfield. And for the Republicans, no candidate has filed. Also in Adair County, no candidate for the Democratic side has filed for supervisor in District 1. And the incumbent Republican Matt Wiedemeyer of Casey is filing for re-election for that post. Adair County Supervisor District 3, no candidate has filed for the Democrats. In the Republican ticket, also no candidate filed. Adair County Supervisor District 5, Thaddeus Hawley of Greenfield has filed on the Democratic ticket. And the Adair County ticket, or the Republican ticket, that is, includes John Twombly of Greenfield, who is the Republican for Supervisor District 5. You can find a list of the polling sites found in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. And if you are in doubt about where you should vote, contact the Adair County Auditor's Office at 641-743-2546. Voters in Montgomery County have only two places for Tuesday's primary election. The county traditionally has seven. Those voters that usually vote at the Elliott Community Building, Red Oak First Christian Church, and Red Oak Fire Station will be voting at the Red Oak Gold Fair Building on Tuesday. Any voters that vote at the Grant Fire Station and Villisca Community Room will now be voting at the Stanton Fire Station. And Burke says, Auditor Stephanie Burke says the inconvenience is expected to be minor and emphasized that this is a temporary move just for this primary election, and that's due to COVID-19. Stephanie Burke said other precautions, in addition to social distancing, will be implemented for the safety of poll workers. And for more information about the 2020 primary in Montgomery County, you can call 623-5127 or follow them on Facebook or go to www.montgomerycountyiowa.com. In other news, a reminder that Produce in the Park online store is now open. Market manager Brigham Hoig said customers who place orders through the store by tomorrow night will get to pick up their orders drive-through style this Thursday, June 4th, from 3:40 p.m. to 6 p.m. Hoig says this is a great opportunity to keep physical distance and still support local food. The online store can be found online, obviously, at www.produceintheparkatlanticiowa.com or by visiting the Produce in the Park page on Facebook. The new purchasing option allows customers to spend time browsing items and pick up purchases without ever having to come into contact with other customers. It's being implemented to help customers keep their distance during COVID-19. If you'd like more information, there is a lot more on the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. As if trips to the grocery store weren't nerve-wracking enough, U.S. shoppers lately have seen the costs of meat, eggs, and even potatoes soar as the coronavirus has disrupted processing plant and distribution networks. Overall, the cost of food bought to eat at home skyrocketed by the most in 46 years, and analysts caution that meat prices in particular could remain high as slaughterhouses struggle to keep workers healthy. While price spikes for staples such as eggs and flour have eased a bit as consumer demand has leveled off, prices may remain volatile for carrots, potatoes, and other produce because of transportation issues and the health of workers who pick the crops and work in processing plants. The coronavirus pandemic has hit farmers hard this spring, but Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Nagg said the one thing that hasn't hurt is planting.
The crop side of things has truly been a bright spot for Iowa agriculture this year, especially after the last couple of years of very challenging springs and wet springs and flooding.
The USDA crop report shows less than 10% of the corn and beans remain to be planted heading into last week. Neg says the weather conditions played out perfectly.
This year we had a really nice window open up at the end of April. Mother Nature cooperated just perfectly, and we saw record pace in getting corn and soybean in the ground. And it's just been a testament to all that it took to get that to happen in a very short time frame.
Nag says the turnaround has been a welcome boost.
I had to say last year, all throughout the year, we were several weeks behind average. This year, we can say things like we're a month ahead of last year and several weeks ahead of the five-year average. So really a bright spot for our farmers.
There have been a few weather issues, of course, since the planting got underway, but nothing major.
We've seen some abnormally dry conditions across, really, from southwest Iowa up into north central Iowa. Now, over the last 10 days to 2 weeks, we've seen ample amount of rain that has come through, and the crops look good. We do need some heat. We need some sun, and that'll really allow things to take off.
There were a few days where cold temperatures and frost hit after the crops were starting to emerge, and Egg says that caused little damage.
Not widespread damage to the crop, but we do know that there was some replant that occurred and some damage, but by and large, that occurred at a time when the crop was pretty well protected.
Last week's crop report showed 97% of the corn had been planted and 92% of the beans. A new report scheduled to be released later today will update the planting process. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.